In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm delighted to be back with you today on this, the seventh Sunday after Easter, the Sunday between the Feast of the Ascension and the Day of Pentecost and Memorial Day weekend. So I've said all of those things about what day this is in our calendar, or I should say our two calendars, as a reminder that as Christians, as the body of Christ, we are called to live, for everybody know that phrase, in this world, but not of this world. So I had a little moment of living in this world, but not of this world, and having it not work out for me this morning when I totally freaked out when the acolyte mistress said to me, "Do you want the American flag to process today?" Totally freaked out. Now, that seems a little strange. I'm a military chaplain. It's Memorial Day weekend. I certainly want to remember and give honor to all those who, as it says in our prayer book, as you will hear during the intercessory prayers, who in the day of decision have ventured much. Here's the problem. The problem is, when we say the Nicene Creed, we join with Christians all over the world. And sometimes our folks have ventured much in fighting wars against the other people with whom we say the Nicene Creed. And so there are many differing opinions about the placement of national flags in holy sanctuaries. Is it appropriate? Is it not appropriate? And I stand firmly agnostic. Firmly agnostic. And so as you can, I've been getting a lot of calls. I'm old. I recognize that I'm old because I get a lot of phone calls from younger chaplains who want mentoring, they call it in the military. It means that they're feeling passionate about something that they haven't been around long enough to know to stop feeling passionate about. And so this week, I've gotten lots of calls from military chaplains and Veterans Administration hospital chaplains, VA hospital chaplains. What's the right place to put the American flag in the chapel? And I always, guess what I answer? How do I respond? Why do you ask? So, today, I hope we will remember all those who in the day of decision, whether at war and military service, whether as first responders, whether as moms and dads, have ventured much. So, now let's talk about the other calendar. Let's talk about this weird day. Does anybody think it's a weird day for any reason other than the fact that we have that gospel reading that is so circuitous that it takes a scholar to even pretend that she understands it? Can anybody explain the gospel reading to me? Right, so it's a translation from a language that's not our own, from a culture that's not our own, and concepts that are not our own. And if I were to bottom line this, how many of you are in the military or are veterans? Raise those hands higher. All right, thanks for your service. So you know that at the beginning of a lot of military messages, and this may be true in the corporate world too, there's often a bluff. There's an acronym at the very top of an email message that says, all in caps, BLUF, bluff. It's an acronym because we only deal in acronyms. When we pray at chapel, we say, hey, JC, instead of... No, we don't. Well, I do. It's only in special operations. But it stands for bottom line up front. Bottom line up front. So if I was going to bluff that gospel, I would say it's that everything and everyone comes from, belongs in, and returns to God. Everyone. People get confused. They say, wait a minute. It's supposed to only be for the ones that God gave him, but then it also says God gave him everybody. Right. So the bluff. Everything comes from God. Everything returns to God. So our only question today, when we're in this weird place where Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ has ascended, and everybody's back here going, oh, what do we do now? But Jesus has promised to not leave us comfortless, but to send the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be our protector, our advocate, to give us power to do what? To be in the world, and to be in God, and to be in Jesus, because Jesus ain't here except through us. So what does that say about who we are supposed to be and what we're supposed to do? So we're in this weird space. That Holy Spirit isn't here yet, but we're still supposed to be Jesus to the world. So it makes sense to me to start with taking a look at, if we're supposed to be Jesus and Jesus is God, who is God? So just the texts today say these things about who God is. They're just the texts today. There's lots of other images of God throughout Scripture. God is a refresher of the weary, of the weary land, not just weary people. He's the father of the fatherless, the defender of the widows, home to the solitary, the welcomer and liberator of prisoners, the provider for the poor, the sender of gracious rain. That's what refreshes the weary, gracious rain. God cares for you, and you, and you, and you. That's what our text says that God is. So Jesus, when he was going to be ascending, says, I'm going to send you power from the Holy Spirit. I won't leave you alone. And you are to be witnesses to your neighbor, to your wider community, and where else?
Yourself.
To yourself. That's that's not in the text, but that's really important, and I think that's a really good extrapolation of what they do after Jesus says this. So I think they heard it that way too. I think they knew that if they couldn't witness to themselves and to their inner selves, they wouldn't be able to do anything else. This is another familiar phrase that I think I got to write that down. You got a pen? Next time I preach this, I'm including that. She's got a pencil.
Here you go.
God bless you. Thank you very much. Yourselves. At breakfast, I saw breakfast being made. I can tell you about some of the wonderful theories that supports, too. Thank you. All right, this is a very familiar phrase. Be witnesses even unto the ends of the earth. So, a lot of times in religion, we're always talking about the insiders, the outsiders. Who's our priority supposed to be? Well, the bluff on this is, sorry, it's pretty universal. All things come from God. All people come from God. The Christ dwells within every person. So it seems then that the people that we are called to be witnesses to, or whoever is around us, And if you feel a slight urging to go somewhere and do something, that might maybe come from the Holy Spirit. Maybe. I don't know that. But it might. So even to the ends of the earth. Okay, so first Jesus promised power from the Holy Spirit. Then he said, you're to be my witnesses even into the ends of the earth. And the way they responded to give themselves that inner strength to be able to do this is they devoted themselves to prayer as a group together with certain women. Well, thank goodness one person laughed. You know, that got like at 8 o'clock, that got not one ripple. Well, I don't know. You know, maybe they thought I was not being, I don't know. But anyway, so I think it's fascinating that they say together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of God, and the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Because do you remember when Jesus started his public ministry? Anybody remember that? He's in the temple, because he's a devout person, a devout religious person. So he's in the temple. He pulls down the Torah, the scrolls of the Holy Scripture, and he unrolls it and he reads from the prophet. Now this is all recorded in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke. And he reads about, anybody remember what he reads about? Recovery of sight to the blind? That's not in our text today, but something else is. You know, the prisoners go free. And there's good news to the poor. God is the provider of the poor. All this same stuff. He says, this is being fulfilled in your hearing. The year of the Jubilee, the acceptable year of our Lord. When suffering ends, when we reach out in love and service to others. When we don't have to be afraid anymore, so we care for one another as God cares for you and you and you. So that's what happened at the beginning of his ministry. And anybody remember what happened then? The same people that he read that in front of, these religious people in the temple, they drove him out to the edge of town and they were going to push him over into a pit and kill him. That's how welcome his words were. And think about, are they any more welcome today? It's not an easy thing that we're called to participate in. It resulted in Jesus' public execution. It's not an easy thing. Well, so here's Jesus out doing this crazy stuff, and it was his brothers who came to him to try to lock him up, to tell him to cut it out. So it's significant that at this time, those same brothers who said he was a nut job are attending to preparing themselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be able to live as Jesus on earth, and to be able to take this message of refreshment, of a father to the fatherless, of defending the widows, of home to the solitary, of liberation and welcome to the prisoners, provision for the poor, to take that message to the ends of the earth. Now, Peter, who was known today in the church as the first pope, the rock upon which Jesus built his church. So Peter was maybe a little bit more faithful than I am. He only denied Jesus 3 times and he was really a chicken. Very enthusiastic though. Wasn't Peter enthusiastic? So Peter wrote a letter. Our epistle today is one of Peter's letters. And he said that we should do 2, when he was writing to the church, right? He said that there were 4 things that would help them be the church. So take this in and see if you think this would help you be the body of Christ here on this earth. Humble yourselves. Can anybody give me a good definition? I'll just read them all, then we'll go back. Humble yourselves. Cast all your anxiety on God. Discipline yourselves and resist the adversary. That would help me. How about you guys? That would help me a ton. So, what's humility? Can anybody give me a good little definition of humility? So, Mildred, my first spiritual guide, said that to be humble is to be right-sized. To be right-sized. So, right here in relationship to you, I get to share some of my vocation with you, share some of what I've gleaned from studying for years. I get to gather you at the table. That means I'm a servant to you. Being right-sized means I'm a servant to you. Being right-sized in relationship to my mother means that, you know, I'm a daughter who respects and cares for her. I won't tell you what humility in terms of being a mother to children means. I'll leave that to yourselves. So it means having a right relationship. Cast anxiety on God. Anybody ever suffer from anxiety? Let's be more specific. Ever been afraid of financial insecurity? Ever been afraid for your children? Ever been afraid of things not working out the way you want them to? How about been afraid for your health or someone else's? Those are the primary anxieties of our age, although we're having more anxieties just generally about safety and security. I think the last time I was here, I shared with you about my friend's sister who won't fly because she's afraid of terrorism, even though the data don't show she should be more afraid of going to the grocery store than of flying. But we live in an age of anxiety, and we are called, apparently they did back then too, live without fear. And then discipline ourselves. And we can talk another time if you all choose to have me back about the spiritual disciplines, kind of the classic spiritual disciplines that help us shape our lives into something that can do these other things, like resist the adversary, the devil who prowls around you like a roaring lion. I love that one. I love to say Compline partly because I get to read that scripture out loud. Resist him. Firm in your faith. Perfect faith casts out fear. So, God is all of those things. Jesus said we're supposed to be in him and be in the world to witness to that same God. Peter gave us some clues about how to do that. So, Peter, as I said, you know, Peter was a little squishy. Peter was very enthusiastic. Peter always thought he could do more than he could. Anybody else? Can I get a witness? My eyes are always bigger than my schedule. I'm always very judgmental and think everybody ought to do and believe and think the way I do. Anybody besides me? Yeah. Yet Peter is the one, the rock on whom God built the church. And in all of that circuitous, confusing verbiage in today's gospel reading, there is one line that truly makes no sense. And that line is, they kept your word. These fragile, frail, betraying, awkward disciples kept God's word. They kept moving closer to being willing to be unafraid. They kept moving closer to being willing to strengthen one another in community. They kept the faith. Not the religious faith, Although I'm really glad you're all here and I want you to come back next week. But they were willing to devote themselves at great sacrifice to the God who refreshes the weary, parents the orphan, defends the widow, provides for the poor, resides and dwells with the solitary, liberates, and more than liberating, welcomes the prisoner, sends gracious rain, and cares for you. Let's be witnesses even unto the ends of the earth. Amen.